Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It took nearly 100 years to get the sport into the Olympics. Tokyo was the first. Paris will be the second. I say Paris. It's not actually being held in France, but thousands of miles away in Tahiti. Sounds good to me. I'm Michael.
And I'm John, and this is Great British Bosses from Anything But Footy, the behind-the-scenes conversation with the men and women who run British sport. And I'm delighted to say we're joined by another returnee to the podcast, but we're talking a whole different sport from when she last joined us.
Hi, so I'm Vicky Gosling, and I'm the chair of GB Surfing, alongside still doing my role as chief exec of GB Snow Sport.
So when you get round the table, Vicky, with all the other CEOs and chairs from all the different NGBs, surfing and snow sport, you're the coolest, aren't you?
It's really funny, actually. I was doing the judging for the Sports Industry Awards, and they were all going around the table, and you had some really cool people there, obviously CEO World Rugby, etc. And then it got to me, and when I said the two remits, everybody was like, oh, that has to be the coolest title. But yeah, no, I have to say it's a really good place to be, because you're covering and you're straddling both summer and winter sports, and some of the coolest of summer and winter sports at that.
Well, it's a really exciting time for GB surfing, and that's what we want to focus on this episode of Anything But Footy. I'm sure we'll talk about snow as well. But how did this come about? How did you become chair of GB Surfing alongside your role as CEO at GB Snow Sport?
It's through a headhunter, to be honest with you. I was approached by a headhunter pre-Beijing, but at the time I felt I had a lot to focus on with going out to Beijing, and we'd obviously had a backdrop of COVID and Brexit, so it'd been a challenging time. And I was approached by a headhunter, and initially I said, look, it's probably going to be one step too far right now with Beijing on the horizon. But they managed to convince me to go for it, and on the premise that if I was successful, I would then take up the role post-Beijing. And that's what happened. So I was very fortunate, right, to be successful, and then I took the role on.
And GB Surfing is relatively new.
Well, yes. I mean, it's interesting because when I was approached by the headhunter, they'd actually been allocated the money 4 years ago. So once they'd decided that surfing was coming into the Olympics, then there was a bid from the four home nations, which includes the Channel Islands. And they put a bid forward to UK Sport to actually get the funding, progression funding, this is, rather than world-class funding. And they were successful. So they managed to secure £1.3 million. That was sort of 4 years ago now. But about 2 years ago, it had become apparent it was very tricky, because the four home nations couldn't really come to an agreement on how the money was going to be spent, how they were going to allocate it, what they were actually doing, what the strategy was. And so the money kind of sat in the bank for about 2 years because they needed to ensure, well, UK Sport wanted to make sure that their funding was safe and that was the right governance structure around it. And then actually it was going to go into a smart strategy to help them succeed. But it had taken quite a period of time of sort of inter-home nation not quite singing along the same page. So part of the remit I was brought in to do was actually to set up a structure, get the right sort of governance in place and a strong, robust board, and then appoint an executive that could effectively put that performance strategy in place to succeed, and then make it a viable investable option so that UK Sport could release the money. So that's what happened. And I came in, as I say, it's nearly 2 years ago now. And the first thing I did was to appoint what I would call a pretty stellar board, actually. If you see the individuals that have come in on the board, they're phenomenal. And then just align the home nations to a common goal and vision, so really clear mission. And then appoint an exec performance director who I'd worked with before we went through the external process. But we appointed Dan Hunt, actually, to come in, who'd worked with me in Snow Sports, and to set a smart sort of performance strategy in place that would lead UK Sport into a comfortable position where they could not only release the funds for the 2 year period, which was effectively the 1.3 million, but over 2 years, but then to give further investment to get us to LA for the next cycle.
I was going to ask, what is the aim of GB surfing? The short term aim was to try and get someone for Paris or Tahiti, as we mentioned, but really you're aiming at LA.
The reality is, with progression funding, it's a longer term strategy because we're kind of starting from scratch. So it's all about building the strength and depth of the team. And realistically, we would hope to get athletes or surfers ready to deliver medals in Brisbane. So we're looking at 8 years hence. But with the right structure and the right strategy in place, there is no reason why we shouldn't be competitive at LA. And the very fact of the matter was, we only built the progression squad, of which we have five athletes in it at the moment. We only built that 6 months ago. We announced it 6 months ago. And we've seen a 25% increase in their performance over that period of time. So just through facilitating them with, and empowering them and enabling them with the right structure, the right access to coaching, the right access to staff, we've seen a huge increase in their performance capability already. So we're really excited. And we were only, we actually went to the ISAs in Puerto Rico to qualify for the Olympics. And we were so close, it was ridiculous. I mean, we didn't expect that at all, quite frankly, with where we are on the journey. But so if you think about that, and then you look forward to LA, actually, the world's our oyster.
Is there any prospect of British representation in surfing in Tahiti or Paris 2024? Alice Barton's the name that people have been talking about. There has been discussion about wild cards.
No, unfortunately, that's highly unlikely. The only real chance that we would have of having anybody actually represent GB at in surfing in Tahiti would be if we get a handback slot. So a handback slot is where effectively another nation turns it down and a space becomes available. And so that would be, that would be our only option, really, is if we get a handback slot given to us. So, and the closest potential you've probably got to that is Sky Brown. Sky came very, very close. Aaron Strong was very close as well, but Sky Brown was super close. So the reality is, if we got a handback slot and if it was accepted by Team GB, then Sky would be our greatest opportunity of competing for GB in Tahiti.
And would it be possible for Sky to do skateboarding and surfing? I put this question to Mark England at Team GB. He said, not just possible, likely.
Well, yeah, I think everybody bend over backwards, let's say, to make it so. Look, the reality is that the schedule is such that skateboarding is at one end of the Olympics and surfing is at the other end. So I think there's a 10-day gap in between, which would enable, because obviously Tahiti isn't on the doorstep of Paris. You've got a bit of a journey to go and a bit of jet lag as well. So it is possible. It is possible. The reality is it could be challenging. And I spoke with Sky's father, Stu Brown, and he was very excited and very much, if it happens, we make it happen. So, and Skye's totally up for it as well. I had the privilege of spending some time with her as well in Puerto Rico, and she's super excited, and she's, you know, she would certainly be up for it.
Obviously, we mentioned Skye. She's such a big name in Olympic sport at such a young age. Does it help having such a high profile athlete for your sport, Vicky?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's a little bit like snow sports with Mia Brooks, you know, winning BBC Young Sports Personality of the Year. You'll hear about these sports and you'll sort of wonder what's going on within the sports. But if you have a high profile name, that it automatically tends to draw attention into what is it they're doing. So it's great to have, you know, a household name, let's say, with your sport, because it naturally attracts attention. I think Skye, I think GB Skateboard would be probably one of the first to say that Skye actually has elevated skateboarding significantly for them as a national governing body, both through attracting sponsorship, but also profiling it with that younger generation. So, you know, We're very excited that we've actually got that opportunity with Skye, but we've also got Lucas Skinner. So Lucas Skinner is unbelievable. He is 16. He's from Cornwall. He's currently out in El Salvador, actually, competing for the ISA Juniors. He came second last year, and he's trying to effectively go on better and get first, which means that he would be one of the world's best juniors in surfing. So for us, that's another name, you know, from Cornwall. Fantastic story. Literally makes it very accessible for, you know, youngsters, particularly kids who know Lucas from Cornwall, just to take up the sport and see where they can get to.
And of course, as a governing body, I'm sure you wouldn't really plan to do it this way, but you look at how Aquatics GB with their diving team have built it around the success of Tom Daley, and that it's just got bigger and bigger and bigger. So the opportunity, as you said, the world is your oyster potentially for GB surfing.
Hugely, because what we need to do, it, I mean, the only challenge we have with Skye, I mean, it's slightly different for Tom Daley, obviously, from where he lives, and Skye is in the States. So that's a slight challenge. That said, Zoe Atkin in halfpipe, you know, she won the X Games. She's in the States for GB Snowsport, and she's attracted a lot of attention. But Skye is over in the States. So it's how we effectively exploit that opportunity the best way we can, whilst at the same time looking at the talent that we've got in the UK. And I do feel that we're probably going to get that second chance with Lucas Skinner as well. And Alice Barton is flying, as Stanley Norman. You may have heard of Stanley Norman. He's incredible. He's in our progression squad as well. And we, in fact, we've actually got Ellie Turner and Patrick as well. So the talent is there. It's just giving them the opportunity to really get access to the waves and access to that. You know, if they can break through into the Challenger Series, which is one beneath the WSL, then we're in a really strong position. But that's what we're aiming for. And then our athletes or our surfers will start to become more recognized on the world-class stage and hopefully drag more attention back to us. So we're not then just going to orientate our entire program around Skye. We're going to look at who else can we orientate it around, because we definitely have the talent, you know, in the system. It's just enabling it to really succeed and get the results we need so we're competitive on that world-class stage.
I remember having a conversation with James Hope Gill, who's CEO, obviously, at Skateboarding in this country. And he was telling me about why Skye chose to represent Great Britain. And it was more the attraction of the culture and less about the attraction of the program. And I guess there's lots of crossovers with skateboarding, with snow sport, and I'm presuming with surfing as well, that actually to get into the Olympics, to go through all the IOC hoops, actually things need to become a bit more of a program. Is that a challenge for you?
Everything's always a bit of a challenge when you first start out, and it comes down to investment is the reality. But you do need to have the structure in place. You do need the strategy, so that we call it comps and camps. So that, you know, the camps that we use. So at the moment, we've done a few camps in Australia and Portugal. You know, we're looking at Brazil. So we need to make sure that the camp structure is in place to give that strength and depth and the skill set that they need, and then channel them into the competitions. So which competitions are we going to be able to access to really put them out there, so they're competing against individuals that they want to aspire to effectively, you know, beat quite frankly. So you do need the structure in place. And particularly the cultural aspect is interesting, isn't it? Because a lot of people say it's a lifestyle. So it's a lifestyle across the freestyle sports realistically. So you then have to put the framework around them that actually enables them to continue with that lifestyle and that free spirit, but be able to have, you know, what it takes in place to then be able to win. And I'm finding that a lot of our juniors, you know, initially people said that there'll be a real pushback on the Olympic side of it. But our juniors and the surfers that we've got, likewise with our snow sport athletes like Mia, actually are thriving in the environment where you do have the right structure in place. They're thriving because they can see the rewards coming and they can see actually how the structure is supporting them to be able to get where they need to go. Because prior to any funding coming in, actually, if you look at someone like Ellie Turner, okay, so Ellie Turner at 16 was effectively second in that world junior space. And the individual that was number one is now top of the world effectively as a female. So Ellie was there, but the funding wasn't there and the structure wasn't there. So it does make you ask the question, you know, in terms of if the structure isn't there, how do they then succeed? And as I said at the beginning, you know, we've seen a 25% increase in their performance since we've put the structure around it. So they're starting to appreciate it for sure. And it doesn't have to detract from the culture.
You mentioned 1.3 million. That doesn't seem like a huge amount. Is it enough to get you to LA?
No. If you want me to be truthful. No, the reality is it's not. And so what we have to do is really look at what's the pipeline? How can we effectively generate, you know, different streams of revenue to support these surfers coming through? Hopefully as well. I mean, that is progression funding. So progression funding is different to world-class funding. So if we get these surfers into a position where they're actually competing in the WSL, then they should be able to, and they're podium competitive, they should be able to unlock the world-class funding, which should increase the amount of funds we get from UK sport, whilst at the same time, diversifying our revenue opportunities is going to be key. But that comes with, you know, exposing the talent, that comes with the attraction of Sky and Lucas and Alice and the other surfers and being able to tell the story.
Michael mentioned earlier that it took about 100 years to get the surfing into the Olympics. I think it was in the 1920s they started campaigning. Is it in for good, Vicky? Because we spoke to Lacrosse in our last episode and they were saying they were delighted to be in LA, but there's no guarantees that that will continue. And we've seen breaking is in Paris, but it's not in LA.
I don't think you can guarantee anything in that sense. But what I would say is that we already, you know, acknowledge that it's going to be in LA and there's talk about it being in Brisbane as well. So when you look at the countries it's going to, they have to ultimately they choose which sports they want to keep in when it comes to the, you know, to the organising committee. I feel, I mean, I was quite surprised at breaking, to be honest with you, particularly with it going to LA. And I think it's a real shame because I think it's a super attractive sport and it's one of the urban family. But when you look at surfing, I think the popularity of it and the attraction to it will be so significant that the likelihood is it will stay, but I can't guarantee exactly, you know, it depends on which nation is, you know, which country takes the Olympics post Brisbane, really. And I guess that'll be a teller.
And as a Olympic sport, we haven't got to the chance to ask many of our British bosses this question yet, but Seb Coe has said that gold medalists are going to get in athletics money for winning golds. What's your view on giving money for gold medals and other medals moving forward?
I think, you know, you look at the Olympic and Paralympic sports, and I see this obviously firsthand, and it's very difficult for these individuals to generate, you know, revenue for a living, unless, of course, they become a household name, whereby they're getting, you know, a lot of sponsorship, like a Laura Kenny, for example. It's really tricky for them. So where they can actually earn, you see it in golf, right? So you see the prize money in golf. Why not, is my opinion. I don't see, you know, there being a real negative side to it, so long as it doesn't create the wrong behaviors. You know, we've seen this in the past, haven't we, where the wrong behaviors can be created through the pressure of generating money or medals, because medals came with investment. Okay, so you need to look at that. But in terms of rewarding the individuals themselves for succeeding at that level, I think it's a positive thing. If there's financial recompense, then that's good, because I see firsthand the struggles that these athletes go through.
You're listening to Great British Bosses from Anything But Footy. We're in conversation with the CEO of GB Snow Sport, who's also the chair of GB Surfing, Vicky Gosling.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
This is Great British Bosses from Anything But Footy. Where does a young boy or girl listening to this at the moment that thinks, oh, I fancy representing Great Britain at the Olympics in surfing, where do they go? There's an indoor surf centre in Wales, I believe, Cornwall, you've mentioned. I mean, is it a sport that anyone can go and try?
100% it is. You just need access to either the natural waves, which, you know, Scotland, England, Wales, Channel Islands, you can access it. It depends on where you live. In the country, and just getting access to that. But we also, as you rightly say, have indoor facilities. So we have the Wave in Bristol, which is fantastic. They've got a new wave pool actually being built up in Edinburgh called Loughshall. And I believe there's several more sort of in on the horizon as they're popping up. Now, they are fantastic indoor, so natural facilities. Well, they're outdoor facilities, should I say. And I think they will really help our talent coming through. And the home nations are doing a great job with the fact that it's now gone into the Olympics. That's enabled Surf England, for example, to access more funds from Sport England. And that's enabling them to build their participation program, as we hopefully will see across the Channel Islands, Scotland and Wales as well. And the greater the opportunity there, whereby, you know, Surf England, Surf Scotland, Surf Wales, Surf Channel Islands are actually opening the doors and creating the opportunity of, you know, give it a go, then hopefully we'll start to see the pipeline increasing and our juniors coming through.
How do you fit everything in, Vicky? Family life, other things that you've got going on in the world, CEO of GB Snow Sport, and now chairing a new governing body too.
It's all about the team, and genuinely, it's all about, you know, working with an incredible team. So I've been blessed with the team that I've helped to select to put into surfing. I mean, they are phenomenal, and they really kind of run the show. It's all about just providing the strategic input and the check and challenge really for those guys and helping where I can. Snow Sport, again, if you look at the, you know, the talent we've got in that team, I mean, they are phenomenal. So it's all about me empowering them, enabling them, and kind of taking away the distractions for them. That allows me to have the time to have a little bit more sort of brain time to look at what's going on. And of course, juggling three children and husband and two dogs, well, that bit definitely is that's a priority at the weekends for sure, unless obviously we're in mid-flow of the season. But it's, as I say, it's all about being surrounded myself with people who are far better than me to enable me then to have the time to look at it all.
I think we last caught up with you in 2019. We've had a pandemic since then, and a couple of Olympic Games as well, which is crazy to think about. Where are you at GB Snow Sport? Because Beijing was probably tougher than I think a lot of us imagined it was going to be for you guys.
Yeah, Beijing was absolutely tougher than we imagined, because I mean, I think when we spoke, we had unbelievable talent, right? And then we got hit with three seasons of COVID and Brexit. But the reality is, so we came back from Beijing, we lost 3 million in funding, which hurt significantly. We stripped down the organization by half, and we went again. So we kept the 12 disciplines going. and so the 12 disciplines that then were sat underneath GB Snow Sports. And last season, we went on and we effectively created British history by 54 podiums, including 12 world championship medals. So, I mean, we kind of blew the ceiling off it. And then everybody sort of thought, wow, is that going to continue? Is that actually possible? And I have to say that we then went on this season to beat that record. So we are in an incredible place. We've podiumed in every single one of the disciplines that we've got under the umbrella. We've got world champions within our sport. This season, you'll have seen, we now have the number one in the world in snowboarding, Mia Brooks, age 16. Our Alpine men's slalom team is now sixth in the world, ahead of Italy, just with that 600, you know, ski resorts that they have, and ahead of Canada, ahead of the USA. I mean, what we're now going to struggle with is the fact that some of these nations are now trying to come in and poach our coaches because we're doing so well. But we've never been in such a strong position. We've won the X Games, Dew Tour, you know, not to mention multiple World Cups and received multiple Crystal Globes. So across Olympic and Paralympic, we're in the strongest position Britain has ever been in British history. And I guess now it's just looking forward to Milan Cortina. I mean, fingers crossed, no more pandemics. We kind of got used to Brexit and the challenges that that brings to us. But the exciting thing is we're actually in the first Olympics and Paralympics that are in the same time zone. And it's almost like a home for home games for us because we have an airbag in Italy in the venue as well. So we're super, super excited. So I'm probably back where I was in 2019, but even with more depth and strength in the team, let's say we could just do with getting that 3 million quid back and I'd be happy.
And what motivates you, Vicky? You talked about that half of your operation was stripped out. You had to start literally all again, but kept those sports going. But what motivates you to, as you say, to be where you are or where you were 4 years ago?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I would say when I came back from Beijing, literally it's at the time when you think, oh my word, you know, the funding's, like part of the funding's gone. You're literally staring down the barrel. You've got to make people redundant. And you're just wondering, how are you going to do it? And it was the team really, because I never lost faith in the quality of the talent that we had or the team. I never lost faith in that. And what drives me forward is actually knowing that it is possible and facing into it. I guess my military career probably helped me with this, you know, is facing into things with an unconquered spirit and just having the belief that it can happen. And you know, obviously you need to have some results and you need to have the talent pipeline and you need to have the right coaching structure in place to have the belief that it can happen. So it's realistic. And I've just not lost that belief that these men and women have the capability to succeed and Britain has the capability to be, you know, right up there on that world-class stage. It's already proven that it can in the last two seasons. And I keep thinking, well, you know, we now have a chance. We genuinely now have a chance to just, you know, make British history at the Winter Olympics.
Final question then from me, with all these things going on in your life, when you do finally get to break, and bearing in mind you prepare for a Winter Olympics and a Summer Olympics now, so it comes around more often than most people in your position, is it a case of, you know, let's not have a holiday on the ski slopes or anywhere near a beach?
No, I love it. You see, I love two of my favourite sports, right? I've pretty much grown up in near Padstow, a place called Trevone Bay. So it's my favourite, one of my favourite places. So I love that. And I do enjoy watching surfing, full stop. So being in the sea, I'm right there. And obviously snow sport, I pretty much, you know, I grew up with and spent a lot of time on the slopes when I was in the military as well. So for me, I still love those opportunities, and the kids do too. It doesn't put me off, which is helpful, right? Bearing in mind, it's my job too.
Well, you were the first returnee to get your whole second episode on Great British Bosses. And as ever, we are grateful for your time. Thank you so much for the insights. Vicky Gosling, Chair of GB Surfing and Chief Executive at GB Snowsport. Thank you for speaking to Great British Bosses from Anything But Footy again.
Thank you for having me.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.